Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I saw Chicago last night. I took Harris to her first Broadway musical.
Chicago? I love that show!
She sang this because I just told her this off mic.
Oh, I love that show so much. It's such a good show with the singing and the dancing and the costumes and the hoo-ha and the whatnot and the hey-hey.
Well, now you ruined it. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, I guess. What do you win? The asshole of the day?
Yep.
The asshole of the day?
The asshole of the day.
Hello, asshole. You win the asshole of the day.
Hello, governor.
I'm not wearing a bra. I just wanted you to know that.
Sexy.
Actually, I went to go take Harris to a play that goes wrong. Did you see a play that goes wrong?
Did I ever tell you my play that goes wrong story? Oh my God, I'll tell you my play. So go on. You took her to see a play that goes wrong.
Did you have callbacks for it?
No, even better. Go ahead.
Okay, I had callbacks for it, and I have a very long story about it, too. I took her to see a play that goes wrong, because I was like, that's such an easy show for anyone to see. And we walked up to the box office. I was like, what are the tickets like for tonight? And they're like, we're sold out. I went, good for you! And I was like, let's go to Chicago, because it's a Monday night.
Yeah.
For those of you muggles, Broadway is dark on Monday, with the exception of shows who are usually trying to boost their sales and be like, oh, people have nothing else to see. Like Chicago that's been running since 1902, et cetera, et cetera. What's your A Play That Goes Wrong story?
Many, many years ago on This American Life, there was an episode called Fiasco. They did a story, they're all true stories, about a high school somewhere in the country that was doing Peter Pan. It was a fucking disaster.
Right.
The woman who was their musical director had Broadway aspirations. It was like Waiting for Guffman, basically.
Totally.
Shit started to go wrong immediately. You know, the kids were flying into the set, as per usual, and Hook was in his very first monologue, and he goes like this, and his hook went flying off and hit some old woman in the stomach. One of the pirates came down on ropes and broke both of their ankles. The set fell down. This was probably 20 years ago that I heard this. A friend of mine and I both heard it. We were like, we should write a play where this happens.
Yeah.
And it would be called, I'm not shitting you, The Play That Goes Horribly Wrong.
You know that they wrote a second one.
I know.
Right. Okay.
So they clearly got the idea the same way that I did. And the only difference is they actually fucking did it. And I just sat on it for 2 decades.
What do I always say? I have said this to you.
Yeah. You say, always use coupons.
Yes. And?
Always pay off your credit cards.
Yes. And?
Perfect is better than done.
Do the thing.
Yeah. Do the thing.
Call a friend. Do the thing.
Yeah.
Get a friend. Shoot it on your iPhone. Do whatever you can to do the thing.
I know.
Because somebody else will do it. I have said this to you because you always have such good ideas and then they just sit there and they percolate and someone takes your genius idea. But that play does go wrong and it is a genius show. But it's not difficult.
No, it's a farce.
It's putting all the crazy things that have ever happened in our 30 years in show business and putting them in an hour and a half. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But that's what you get. Do the thing. Other than that, welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I am Ellen Marsh, and over there is not only a Tony Award winner, but she's an ideas haver, Daisy Egan. She hates theater. She tolerates me, but she's fucking funny.
Thanks.
Harris and I talked about you for like 3 blocks yesterday. Just about.
For 3 blocks?
Yeah.
That's such a New York thing. We talked about you for 3 blocks.
That, I guess that is a new, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know.
I get it.
We were at the place. It was 51st. I talked about you till almost 47.
All right.
So there you
go.
$3. $3.50. That is such a New York thing. You know, there are New York things, and I don't even realize they're New York things, like bodegas.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, if you say bodega to anyone else, you have to explain what a bodega is.
Yeah. Bodegas have the best breakfast sandwiches.
Done and done. I actually go back to my same bodega from when I lived on 49th and 10th.
Nice.
Whenever I'm in Midtown.
Yeah.
They watched Lola grow up.
Yeah.
They watched me go from dating to engaged to married. We went there on my wedding night. They're like family.
We had one on the corner growing up called Charlie's. It was actually not called Charlie's. We found out many years later, but it was just called Charlie's. And it was run by an old Cuban couple. And Mrs. Charlie would always say, Daisy, que lindo, mommy. And I would go in and get my potato chips and my quarter water. I love Charlie's. Now it's a really good Italian restaurant.
Ugh, I hate that.
I know.
We were talking about you for $3, just about how fucking funny and fantastic you are. I was like, Daisy can say anything and it makes me laugh.
Wow, thanks. I need this.
You are, but you are a cunt.
Oh, yeah. And proudly so. And this across from me is Ellen Marsh. We haven't even introduced you. Ellen is also here.
Yep. Season 2, episode 7, Meet the Parents or something like that.
It's a family affair.
There we go. It's a family affair. Take it away, Dicey.
We're back at the All Swim date. Sal asks Jerry, if they can talk. Jerry TT asks how he and Mallory are doing, and Sal's like, it's going really good. It's going really good. There's, you know, there's been arguments here and there, but you know how it goes. And Jared's like, no, I don't. There's no arguments over here. We haven't.
Really?
Not a single one.
That's so weird, because if I would have been with Mallory... We definitely would have fight, but say more about your toxic relationship. That's so weird. You fight? Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not like anybody else has like whispered anything in her ear or anything like that.
He's like, me and Ayana haven't fought at all. You guys must not be happy, huh?
He gives him a piece of advice. He's like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Passed down from the wise men through the ages.
You should write this down.
It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Never go to sleep angry.
I know.
Who knew that was all that you needed to keep a relationship together?
Take it, put it right here in your heart, keep it there, because those words, they will come back and you will need them one day.
You are going to need them. Sal's like, too late. Ha ha. And Sal does something really sneaky. He's like, yeah, I know what you mean, man. Hey, I heard that you told Mallory that the ring was no good. And Jared's like completely taken off guard.
And he's kind of being a son of a bitch here. He's like, I said that jokingly.
Oh, please.
I didn't mean any shade. No, you didn't say it jokingly. And yes, yeah, you did. That's exactly what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
Roll tape. We have the tape, dude. You and Mallory both acted shady and inappropriate. You all remember this is being recorded on a video device, right?
He was the definition of throwing shade is what he was doing. He was absolutely doing that.
Yeah. You can't rewrite history the way you wanted to just because you're in a situation to defend yourself. I know I apologize way too much. I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
My brother and I were talking about what came up in my mushroom MDMA journey and people pleasing and stuff. And my brother goes, dude, someone hand me the wrong change the other day and I apologized. I'm sorry, man. You actually owe me $50, not five. I'm sorry. Could I get the other? I'm sorry. You know what? Forget it. You keep it. You know what? I'm going to go step into traffic. I shouldn't have said anything. I should be happy to be alive. I don't know.
All he needs to say is like, you know what, man? You're fucking right. I had way too much to drink. I was out of pocket.
Yep.
I should not have fucking said that. I'm really sorry. But he doesn't. He's just like, come on, man. Come on.
I was joking.
We were buddies.
Honestly, here's an experiment for all of you listening. Try saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I did not mean that. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It is magic when you really am just like, yeah, that came out wrong. I apologize. Or I apologize. I was having a moment. I do not understand what people's hang up is.
They don't want to be caught doing something wrong. They don't want to, you know what I mean? He doesn't want to be caught being the bad guy.
One of the most liberating sentences also is, you're right, I'm wrong. It's so easy to say because he was.
I mean, I wouldn't know because I've literally never had to say that sentence, but I would imagine.
I was wrong once in I think it was 95.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean, I said it.
Right. And you held on to that experience, clearly.
Yeah, it was great. And Jarrett, I got the knife, says he's happy and he wants to marry Ayana. I want a producer to be like, okay, but But, like, you for sure asked Mallory to marry you. We are all clear on that, right?
In confessional, he says, if things are going good, we'll be married in about 2 weeks. I'm like, so the door for you is way open. Way open.
Yeah.
Ayana tells the women that everything seems too good, maybe, even. And now Jerry, TT, and Sal cheers, and everything's fine again.
And then we go to Shane and Natalie. Now, we just had the Shane and Shayna conversation. So Shane and Natalie are talking, and Natalie says, are you uncomfortable? And he's like, yeah, I am. And then he sort of like downloads his conversation with Shayna. And I'm actually impressed on two levels with Shane here. Number one, I'm impressed that he didn't dance around the idea that Shayna messaged Natalie. He was very clear. He was very concise about it. And I'm also impressed with how forthcoming he is with Natalie here. He told the entire conversation. He didn't embellish. He didn't omit. He didn't lie about anything. And also, those vampires got to him.
Shayna definitely got inside Shane's head. Absolutely. Because now he turns to Natalie. He's like, we're good, right? We're good. We're good. We're good, right? This relationship isn't a joke, right? We're good, right?
Well, because she said it was a fraud. Your relationship is a fraud. And then once you get the vampires in there and they start to wreak havoc, he's like, wait, are we?
Well, and then he even asks Natalie, he's like, you didn't like say anything to her about our relationship being a joke, right? Shayna dropped a fucking grenade and walked away, for sure.
And no matter what you think of the person saying something, there is always a sliver of self-doubt.
Oh, sure.
With anything, you know?
Yeah.
It was like the time you told me that I had no talent and you carry this podcast.
Right.
But anyway, I don't enjoy Shane, but I recognize that he is a deeply insecure, deeply flawed child. He needs a lot of reassurance.
Yeah.
And so I understand how that statement by Shayna,
oh, sure,
really set him spinning. And Natalie is actually being nice here. She's reassuring him. You know, Shayna was talking out of her ass.
But then in confessional, I had to actually listen to this about 3 or 4 times to understand what the point of what she was saying was. And I think my theory is that she didn't actually have a comment on this conversation that she and Shane had and on the whole Shayna thing. It's because I feel like Netflix just cobbled together some sentences to make it sound like she did.
Sure.
She didn't think that Shayna had something strong with Kyle, so Shayna can't understand how Natalie and Shane could have something so strong.
Right.
Which is not what it is. It's just that Shayna wants Shane's dick.
Right.
It's not that Shayna's not able to have empathy or whatever.
Right.
Natalie says in the pods, it was just her and Shane and they didn't have other people inserting themselves, but she's not nervous. She says, I'm not nervous that my wedding is in 2 weeks, and I'm confident that I'm going to marry Shane. And she wants to be with him for the rest of her life. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
It's so weird. And then they bad kiss. And you know, every time you bad kiss, a bunny dies.
I didn't know that. Well, that'll keep the bunny population in check.
I mean, I have them all in my backyard. I just don't want to be scooping up dead bunnies.
No. Yeah, they kiss and he's basically like, should we fuck right here? She's like, should we make babies?
People know that it's very easy and sometimes, if done right, fun to make the babies.
Uh-huh.
But after they get here, the rearing part.
Yeah.
Do people know that? Because they do an awful lot of let's make baby talk. And I don't think they actually know what goes into it. I feel like the making part is the part that they're focusing on. But then, you know, a human's here.
Yeah, yeah. You made it and now you have to deal with it.
And it never goes away.
And it doesn't.
Ever.
It's just there.
And it never stops talking and asking for stuff.
It smells.
It needs 3 meals a day, which seems excessive to me.
Totally.
They're here.
Yeah. You have to teach them not to shit their pants. You have to teach them not to piss on the couch. You have to teach them, like, things. It's like the least sexy thing I think you could say in that moment.
Yeah, it feels misguided. I feel like people are confused and... Yeah, I'm very confused. Everyone wants to make babies, and I don't know who is going around spreading the rumor
that it's fun.
That after that solid 4.5 minutes, life really changes.
Yeah. I think you should win a Webby for that monologue you just gave.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Can you nominate me? I've never won anything, unlike you.
You have a Grammy.
You have a collection.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
So now we're 14 days out. Nick and Danielle are going to see Nick's condo. Why do people refer to their apartments as condos? Just say my apartment.
Right, because a condo is something you own.
Oh, maybe that's why he said condo. You could also own an apartment.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Do you want to come to my co-op?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's weird. Are co-ops things outside of New York?
I don't know. You know, my grandmother lived in a co-op across the hall from Bette Midler.
That tracks. Marissa Tomei lived in the same building as BB New Earth. And when Marissa came to see Bedwetter, she texted me and not BB.
Why?
Because BB New Earth is a cunt.
Oh, is she? Oh, I didn't know that. She's always been nice to me.
Me and Casey Levy had a joke that if we laid down $1,000, she wouldn't be able to tell us the name of our kids.
Ooh.
She doesn't ask questions.
Oh.
She does not ask questions. She does not care. She will answer your questions. She will tell a great story, but there is no, and how about you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I hate that woman.
Oof. And Marissa Tomei has your phone number?
We did Rose Tattoo together.
Oh, right. God, you've done so many things. Who can keep track?
She liked me. I understood her.
I know. You're good at cunt whispering.
Yeah, she's a tough cookie, but I thought she was kind of like a teddy bear. I thought she was really sweet.
Oh, Marissa also?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her.
But she can be harsh. It's her tone. Her tone is like really harsh.
Yeah.
And she doesn't mean it, but she was fucking brilliant in that play.
Was she?
She was really good.
Tell the story about bringing something to her party, Kelly says.
Oh, yeah. So Marissa hosted a party and I don't know rich people. I don't know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to have a party, I would say, can I bring a dessert
mm-hmm.
or some cheese? What do you want me to bring? And she was having a party at her apartment, beautiful, down in Washington Square Park. And I was like, oh my gosh, Marissa, that's so nice of you to host us. What can I bring? And she went, nothing. Unless, do you need something special? I was like, oh, no. Just like, you know, if you need me to bring like a dessert. And she went, oh, no. And it was like catered. I don't know what rich people do.
I went to a party in LA once and I brought a cake that I made by hand. I mean, it was a box cake, but I do this thing where I replace the oil with canned cherries. It's fucking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But the cake looked like I'd shit it out on the
plate. Right.
And I get there and there's somebody had brought this like cake from like one of the best bakers in Los Angeles. It had like handmade candy flowers on it. And I was like,
yeah.
Here's my chocolate cherry cake.
We were going there on a Sunday after a matinee. I thought we were ordering pizza and
yeah,
there was like past plates. She looked at me like I needed money.
How does she still have so much money though? Like from what?
She was in the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, right.
The Spider-Man franchises.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, she does well for herself.
Right.
Also, did I ever tell you the story about when I dated Robbie Williams and he asked me if I was poor?
What? Oh my God, what is your life?
He was like, because you're poor, right? Because he had a new MacBook before the MacBooks came out, and he was like showing it to me with a stack of Adidas sneakers. He's like, you maybe get one of these, but you're poor. I was like, I mean, I guess to you, Rob, yes, I am poor.
Oh my God.
Wow. Teeny dick, great kisser. Okay. So Nick and Danielle are walking in the pouring rain with a teeny tiny umbrella.
Danielle says she's so glad she gets to live with Nick's dog for the rest of her life. The dog is very mm-hmm. cute, but I'm wondering who wants to tell Natalie what an average dog's lifespan is. It's not going to be.
Did you say Natalie or
did
Danielle?
Did I say Natalie? Danielle. I do that in my head with these two all the time. For some reason, I want to do the switcheroo. Danielle, you know what? Never fucking mind. Just cut the goddamn joke. So they do a closet inspection.
Well, I also think he's being very considerate because he's saying, you know, she's coming to live in my space and I want her to feel like this is her space, not that she's a guest in mine. Have you ever moved into a partner's space?
Yes, a couple of times. Yeah.
I've never done that. Is that difficult?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I'm not really one to be like, and now I'm going to put my stuff on the walls and make it look like me. I'm pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much like, oh, this is where I live now.
Right. Okay.
But they have very different styles.
Oh, we are going to find out.
Hold on. I'm moving my chair. So it's going to look, it's going to sound like my whole apartment house is moving. Ready? Here we go.
Great. Thank you for the warning.
You're welcome.
She's like, first things first, let's look at the closet, which is a big consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows her the alphabetized DVD collections. Number one, remember DVDs.
Yeah, he has the Dawson's Creek collection.
She doesn't like it. I don't know if she doesn't like the fact that they're DVDs and they're obsolete. She doesn't like that they're alphabetized.
No.
Remember, she doesn't like his toothpaste either.
Oh, right. In confessional, she tells us that she is worried.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they might as well just stop the tape right there. She is worried, full stop, all the time about everything. But right now she's worried because he has alphabetized DVDs and she's kind of messy.
Mm-hmm. That's a big issue. With people, living style, absolutely.
So she and Nick discuss where she's going to store all of her clothes and her rock band equipment.
Why are you saying that like that's something we've heard before? Because that's my main question.
They didn't talk about it before?
No. And she says that her rock band equipment is 100% coming with her.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, great, so we'll put it in the closet. And she's like, no, no, I want it out. I had no idea that rock band storage argument was going to be on my Love is Blind bingo card. I had no idea. Why did you just say that like that's information that we've heard? Because they did it too. And I feel crazy. She's like, okay, so and about my rock band stuff. And I was like, this is not anything we have talked about.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, maybe it's...
I just wrote, did I miss this conversation? What is going on? All I know is the rock band conversation alone is sending me into a spiral of confusion, and it's giving Nick agita because he is very concerned about the placement. Where is the rock band set going to go? I guess my follow-up question would be, how often do you play rock band that it needs to be accessible at all times?
At all times. That's the thing. And he says, can we put them in a bin? And she's like, the full drum kit?
Yeah. It's as if they were like, your kid is going to have to sleep in a drawer. She's like, no.
What are you talking about? It has to be out. It has to be out.
I'm Googling, does she play rock band for a living? I'm thinking, you know those people who like play Minecraft?
Yeah, like a Twitch.
Maybe she had a jump on that whole sensation. The fact that she couldn't possibly fathom a life without immediate accessibility to her rock band game. I have so many more questions than I've ever had on this show.
Well, we're going to learn a little bit later in the episode that her whole life is just sort of a party.
Right. Barry says in the chat, it reminds me of a stepbrother's conversation.
Yes.
It totally does.
Yeah.
But she's like, not even like, she's like, well, I mean, no, it can't be. We can't put it away.
No.
No. I mean, so... I'm fine with any not the northwest corner, obviously, because when I do my jams, it might bounce acoustically. But I'm going to say any other corner is good. Why are we supporting this chaotic discussion? I feel crazy right now.
I guess I've played rock band before. I owned it for a minute and a half when Monty was little. I've known plenty of people who keep their rock band shit out.
Katie just said I stopped driving. This is actually the most I've liked Danielle. Yes, it is relatable. Not to me, because I don't like shit around, but rock band is a blast. Like when you're stoned.
Yes, Karen, they do have to be attached to the TV, but like you could undo it and put it away for a minute. It's not like a full band setup where you need like the amps and the pedals and the, you
know. It's just so weird. Anyway, I can analyze.
Anatomize.
That whole conversation, mostly because she was like, and my rock band stuff.
And also the way they're editing it Every time these two people have a conversation, I'm just waiting for her to pull the pin and like blow the whole thing up. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. She's going to have anxiety about the rock band.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah.
But we do manage to get out of that conversation without some massive blow up. Well, if you don't like my rock band, like somehow, that's basically my entire personality. So if you don't like my rock band, like then obviously like you don't like me. So like it's just like the thing is like that's where my brain goes. Like my brain goes like if you don't let me play rock band, then like you don't know who I am as like a core and like as a core, like who I am. And so
it's a very easy connection.
Obviously.
Yeah, I get it.
So now we're going to go meet Jared TTT's family. Apparently he hasn't told them anything at all. Not that he went on the show, not that he's back from the show, not that he met somebody, not that he's engaged. Nothing.
Papa Timothy and Mama Felicia seem lovely. Do you not talk to your parents for 4 weeks at a time? Some people don't. It just, that didn't seem to be their dynamic. They seem to be quite a lovely family. Where did they think he was?
When he was saying this, I was like, oh, they're probably a very reserved and shut down family. And that wasn't the vibe at all. Ayana tells us that sometimes she feels like his second choice, because she is. And she thinks that meeting his family as his fiance might sort of solidify things and help her feel better. So they introduce each other. And by way of letting them know that they're engaged, Jarrett just shows them Ayana's ring. They actually seem pretty happy. The dad's sort of crying a little bit and they're giggling. Yeah. And it was not the reaction that I was expecting.
No, they're very sweet and very emotional and they're squealing. And then Mama Felicia goes, is there a date? And he says, June 7th. And then she follows up with a very fair question.
Okay, we got a date already, Susan?
June 7th.
What year?
2 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
That is the most fair question.
Uh-huh.
Because it couldn't be the June 2nd in 2 weeks. That is a silly goose idea.
That would be ridiculous.
No, it is.
So they're explaining how the experiment works. Ayana tells them that he didn't want to know anything about how she looked. Felicia wants to know what touched Jarrett about Ayana, and he says her resiliency and strength. What? And he says basically, all I could do is trust her word. But she has been the same person outside of the pods as she said she was inside of the pods. And Papa Tim says that on his first date with the stepmother, they shut the restaurant down and they've been together for 25 years. They're like, communicating is the most important part. And then Papa Tim, who is apparently a minister.
Well, no, he's not apparently a minister, Daisy. He tells us he's a minister.
Well, I know it's just the first we've heard.
He's allegedly a minister. I have yet to see his papers. No, he's a minister.
Jared never mentioned that, so it was news to us.
We're getting a lot of new information today. We got rock band addictions.
Yeah.
Minister parents. There is so much we just clearly have been cut out of. Thank you, Netflix.
I guess so. Yeah, thanks a lot, Netflix. Papa Tim tells him it would mean the world to him to perform their ceremony. And what did you think about that?
I thought it was sweet. I think asking him rather than assuming that he would because he was a minister. I don't really feel like having a parent is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it should be a
neutral party.
Yeah, a neutral party. But he seemed very emotional about it and he seemed like it would be a great honor for him. So what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. Except I really thought, what if they didn't want him to? They can't say no at this point.
Right.
And then he laid it on so thick by saying that other people have asked me to officiate their weddings and God wouldn't let me because my firstborn was the one. They can't say no to him.
Yeah, it was a lot. Could you imagine if he's like, yes, but honestly, we have an ask into Kevin Hart because we have a Netflix connection. He's got a... Can you do the speech at the party, though? Yeah, I see your point.
We think he might be Ayana's dad. My ex-husband's father officiated our wedding.
Well, that didn't turn out so great.
It sure didn't. I don't recommend.
Do you know who officiated my wedding?
Who? No. Who? Really?
Yeah, and I officiated his.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God damn. I just don't know how you can write off, how you could just walk away. I don't understand. Psychotic.
It is psychotic.
In confessional, Ayana says she feels closer to Jerry TT now. She says that she knows that the vibes when they meet her parents are going to be very, very different. It's going to be a lot more serious. There's going to be a lot more tension. So now we're with Malvador. He is packing up some clothes. She goes through his stuff. She tells us she's surprised that he's so neat and organized.
Well, no, you're burying the lead.
I am.
She is like inventorying his bathroom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's naming everything. She's like, there's a toilet seat. There are your poopy wipes. There are your pills. There's your at-home colonic. Can you give this man some privacy in his fucking bathroom?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you're calling me out. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bathroom. It's got all the stuff that a bathroom has.
Yeah. Your at-home colonic.
Yeah, what is it? Have you seen when, God damn it, you don't see Sex in the City. And she's like, we've got 5 speed sticks. You got your Rogaine. Are you losing your hair? I don't want to talk about it. great breakup scene. And that's why I need 2 doors. The people who get it, get it.
So now we meet his roommate, Caesar. They met at music school. He teaches music and...
Immediately, Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if anyone picks up a ukulele, yep. I am fast forwarding.
Yeah, don't worry. They don't pick up a ukulele.
And just like that, he picks up a guitar and he's like, and this next one's Wonderwall. Today is going to be the day.
The only thing worse than having one person play music at you is having 2 fucking people play music at you.
At you. It was an assault with a guitar.
So they're singing, ay, 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 ay.
De la Sierra Morena, cielito lindo, viene bajando. Un par de ojitos negros, cielito lindo, de contrabando.
That guitar is so fucking out of tune. I would be Lauryn Hill. That guitar is killing me fucking softly. Listen to this. Listen to this. I can't. It's making my eye go like this.
Uh-huh.
When I hear that, I'm like, oh, God. Oh, fix it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Listen.
Hi. Sexy. Sexy out of tune.
Can I loan you a pitch? They're like $9.99 on Amazon. Somebody tune that fucking guitar. And then Sal hits a note. Wait for this note. Hold on. Wait for it.
Sierra Morena, cielito lindo, viene bajando.
Ha! Oh my God! How did you sing 2 notes at the same time?
Bajando.
Oh my God! I would be in a 5 points harness because we don't call them straight jackets anymore.
We don't?
No, I learned that on my mushroom retreat. If that were me, that note, it hit my hair follicles.
Yeah.
Oh God, it hurts so bad.
Mallory looks like it is all she can do to not laugh. This is so uncomfortable. So she starts crying, but I really think it's because she's laughing and she doesn't want to be there anymore.
I don't know. I feel like all of her emotional reactions, her crying, all of it feels so inauthentic to me.
I just think she's crying because she wishes she'd said yes to Jared and she was at a fucking Cubs game right now.
You think?
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to be here listening to ay, 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 ay.
Ay, 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 the pitch bends. Ay, ay, ay. How do you do that? You are singing 2 notes at the same time. And one of them sharp and one of them flat. That's actually a talent. I don't know how. It's just a semitone. God damn it. That hurts my teeth.
Barry says, I feel like her crying is always because of discomfort. She's just like, I wish I wasn't here right now. I hate this so much. Please stop singing ay, ay, ay to me.
Have I ever told you my trick if you need to cry or laugh on stage? Have I ever told you?
No.
All you have to do is do either one to the tune of O Susanna. If you have to laugh and you don't have, you just go, ha, 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 ha. Same with cry.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. Acting lessons. I went to college. Okay.
Oh, God, it's really good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So now in confessional, Mallory tells us the moment she started falling in love with Sal was in the pods when he sang to her. She's still weepy in this confessional. She says Sal is so in touch with his feelings and with communicating, and she just loves that so much about him. She says that when he looked at her just now while he was singing, she fell in love with him a little bit more. And she cannot stop playing with that fucking ring on her finger.
It's so weird.
So now we're with Shake and Deep D heading to Shake's place. He puts his stupid fucking Tesla on autopilot and reclines his seat all the way back. What an idiot this guy is.
Honestly, I wish he is plagued by minor inconveniences for the rest of his
just
fucking life.
Minor ones.
Just ones that just cause annoyance.
Yeah, like a broken shoelace.
Yeah, or like traffic a lot.
Yeah, traffic a lot.
But like not bad traffic, just enough traffic to make you 5 minutes late everywhere.
Everywhere. He realizes he's going 90. Please get over yourself. I said, this guy is so gross. Not for Deep D. She thinks it's sexy. But also, shouldn't a self-driving car just not be able to go 90 on a fucking busy freeway? Like, what's happening?
I don't trust Teslas. I feel like it's the Jetsons. I don't understand it.
Me neither.
I don't understand what's happening. I ignore that Teslas exist. So I have no idea.
If I put my car on autopilot, I assume it's not going to go 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Shake tells us that showing her his place is making this feel more real. I think he's just desperately hoping that whatever the next thing is going to be the thing that helps him want to have sex with her.
The shock in his face when he says that, Daisy, I have never seen so much white to anyone's eyeballs.
Except for Shane, all the time.
That is where we'll be living as husband and wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Every day, it's like he's watching dinosaurs come back to the earth. He's so shocked of all the possibilities that might happen at all times.
I think he's in a constant state of terror because he doesn't know how to say, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
So we go to Shake's apartment. He has the slightly upgraded Brosif starter pack.
Yes, exactly. Still the leather couch, floor to ceiling windows.
And the couch has like a little more structure and it's black, but otherwise it's the same fucking thing. She asks him where he wants to be living in 5 years and he answers definitely like he's still only thinking about himself. He's like, oh, I'll be living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will be because we'll be married in 2 weeks.
Right. And then she starts talking about kids again. Again, let's focus on love and orgasms and vacations and marriage and stop talking about kids.
I just don't understand how she's still this oblivious that Shake isn't into her.
I don't know if she is. Do you think she is? You don't think she's just trying to like secret it?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I really don't know the answer. That's not a trick question. I don't know. I want to believe.
I mean, I don't know what's worse. I don't know if it's worse that she's oblivious or worse that she knows and she's just trying to pretend. Oh, God.
Also, he takes her back into his bedroom. Okay, I am not the neatest person. Mm-hmm. My house is either immaculate or there's shit everywhere. Uh-huh. It's not dirty.
Yeah.
I have this. I have this here. Same. It's not dirty. It can be messy. But I would do anything in my power. I would sell my fucking clothes on Poshmark if I needed the money to hire a cleaning crew before Netflix came into my house. You all know they're coming to your house.
Yeah.
Clean your house.
Yeah.
I get it. People's houses are a mess, but it should be on your best day. It should be your house's best representation.
It's not as bad as Kohl's.
No, not as bad as Kohl's. No, nothing is that bad. But in general, pick up the stuff.
Yeah.
Put your clothes in the fucking hamper.
I didn't even notice any of the stuff. I was looking at how everything was just gray and black and gray and black.
Yeah. And like cheaply made. Like you're a vet.
Yeah.
Come on. I know how much money you make.
Don't you think he also has student debt?
Did you see his parents' house? I don't think so.
Oh, right. Yeah. What am I talking about? Yeah, but he does have a bucket of spackle on the floor in his bedroom. You're right. Just take 5 minutes to clean shit up.
Yeah.
So now we're going to meet...
Buckle up.
Oy, Nick's family.
Buckle the fuck Ah.
Danielle is terrified because she's...
Of everything!
Danielle.
Of her shadow.
Poor girl.
Of inflation.
They talk about how stressful the whole thing is going to be because he gets anxious around his family and he just wants to be strong for Danielle. It's not the best pep talk for Danielle. She's already fucking anxious. I don't think you need to go in and be like, listen, this is gonna suck hard.
Yeah.
But maybe it's good that he's sort of preparing her. So he says his mom always takes a while to warm up.
Oh, the understatement of the fucking year. And Trump isn't so bad.
Oh, boy. Yep. They arrive at Nick's mom's backyard, and these women can hardly be bothered to stand up.
They don't get up. They don't move. Some of them look away. They are the most unwelcoming. I don't know. They could not even fathom being bothered that they have a guest.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
They can barely stand up.
They finally kind of stand up and they're like, hi.
And she shakes her hand and she goes like this. If you're Danielle, she goes like this. Hey.
Oh, God.
Oh, she breezes by her. I get that people are nervous and anxious.
No, this woman is.
She is cold.
Yeah.
My anxiety, I wanted some of Danielle's medication.
Yes. His mom. Says, we're pretty easy people. I don't think you need to get nervous meeting us. And Nick says, that's what I was telling her. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
No. And then Danielle's like, is there wine? And
oh,
she's
God.
Just chugging. She's turning the bottle of wine upside down and chugging it.
She chugs a bunch of wine. And Nick's mom, whose name I fucking missed, who cares?
Kimberly.
Kimberly says, well, now that we all know that we're all nervous. And she's like rolling her eyes and scoffing. Ooh. Nick tells him that Danielle is nervous about everything, which seems a little harsh. I didn't think he needed to lay that out. Yes, we know that, but you don't need to say that first thing out of the gate to these women.
Here's the thing, you know, she goes into this whole monologue that she has said before about how Nick makes her feel free to be herself and safe to be herself. I know Danielle went through shit on this show. We didn't find out till after how much shit she actually went through.
Oh.
However, it is her personality. We are seeing her personality in a very heightened scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her entire personality is being insecure.
Yeah.
We are all insecure. We all have anxiety. I have nothing against her. I want the best for her. I want her to feel good and settled. But her anxiety spikes my anxiety. And that's
100%.
She could talk about.
Yeah. Well, that and her weight loss. She does bring up her weight loss right away. She needs everybody to know that up front. She lost 70 pounds. And she says it's hard to bring that up with men in the real world. She appreciates the accelerated process because it forces you to have big conversations. And we cut back to the mom and sisters, and they might as well be fucking statues. They have zero response to this monologue. And I was like, this has to be editing. Like, these women can't actually be like this. This is horrible.
The coldest, I can acknowledge that I'm probably on the other side. You know, I'll open mouth kiss somebody and give them my shoes. Do you want to hear the stupidest thing I did? Okay, edit all that out. Thank you.
Listen, everybody, the shit that we're editing out of this episode, if you're not on the $15 tier, you are missing some piping hot tea. We've got shoes. We've got abusers.
Barry is in the chat. She said, I'm analyzing it now. Put it in the chat, Barry. I want to read. I think it's just embedded insecurity and people pleasing. Everyone take a stab. There you go.
What do you give? Oh.
That was to Ashley in the chat.
Oh, what did Ashley say?
She said it's insecurity because you don't deserve to be this successful or financially stable or loved by people with an eek face. Shut the fuck up. Call me later. Okay.
So now you can see that Nick is just getting more and more uncomfortable. He's biting his nails. He's like, gulp.
Yeah.
And Danielle says that they've been through some terrible times. And Nick's mom is like, terrible time? What are you fucking talking about? You've been together for a minute and a half.
It really is those like terrible times that we've had to go through where I'm like, holy shit, if I was going through this with anyone
other
than
him. What kind of terrible times? I mean, well, you guys have only been together for how long?
Okay, so she does have a point there because you haven't gone through anything terrible. You haven't gone through bill paying or losing a job. You guys are making up imaginary shit and being weird.
Right, but also if you have gone through terrible times already, something's wrong.
Right.
You've only been together for 2 fucking weeks. So Nick tries to dig them out of the hole that Danielle has dug them into. He explains that things are hypersensitive. No, Danielle is hypersensitive. And that little things can blow up into big things. Sister Jennifer asks Danielle if she's going to be able to handle his obsession with twice-a-day showers. And Nick is like, what? What? What do you... He's like, I don't do that anymore. So basically what she's saying is, like, when he was a teenager, he went and jerked off in the shower twice a day. It's a real fucking low blow. And then she's like, oh, well, he's really anal retentive about the shower. He's like, can we not say anal retentive?
I agree with him, yeah.
Jesus. So they say that he's OCD about washing hands and hygiene. Listen, I'd prefer a man who's OCD about hygiene than not.
These people are awful.
They're terrible.
They're rude. They do not read a room. They're as fucking warm as pond water. Do they even like Nick?
No, they're going through a long list of Nick's flaws, and Danielle is trying to cut them off. She's like, I'll learn. And then they're like, well, why did you want to marry Danielle? She says they've never gotten to know any of his other girlfriends in the past.
No wonder. I would keep them far away from this fucking family. After seeing what his home life is like, I'm actually surprised he's as understandable and stable as he is.
I agree. I don't know how he came. Well, maybe he's the peacemaker in the family, probably. He says he just wants to make sure they're getting married for the right reasons. Something about roadblocks in the future. I don't know. But nothing about Danielle specifically and like why he wants to marry her specifically. These sisters are like the sisters from James and the Giant Peach. What are their names? Fick and Fudge? Smick and Smudge?
I thought they were like the sisters from The Simpsons.
Oh.
Selma and...
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, but she's like, he's dated women for years and years and never been able to make commitment. And then the mom is like, he's always been obsessed about my divorce and he's never been happy about it. And Nick's like, wait a minute, that's not true. I was very happy you got divorced because you fucking hated each other. And if you'd stayed together, we would have been really fucked up. So fuck these women. Who cares? They're being so mean. Nick is shitting fucking bricks. Danielle is trying to say, like, we complement each other and our opposite stuff complements each other and we have a lot of similarities and he took care of me in Mexico. And the mom is like, okay, I mean, I guess I'm okay with it if you're okay with it.
Honestly, this just keeps going on. And finally, Nick goes, okay, we gotta go. I was like, truer words were never spoke, my man.
And then the mom gives Danielle the weakest side hug that has ever happened in the history of human times.
How can you classify that as a hug? They tap shoulders. They lean in shoulders. And then she goes, tap, tap.
Tap, tap. Yeah.
Shoulders. Doesn't make eye contact. Look, just lean. It was like a lean. It was a gentle lean. Put aside that she looks like Fred Armisen, okay?
In a bad blonde wig.
In a bad blonde wig. She is so unempathetic. This is maybe the worst parent meetup I have ever seen. This family visit is actually the only rational thing that Danielle should have anxiety about.
Yeah.
I'm giving her that.
Yes.
That is warranted and necessary.
I would not want to marry into this family after meeting them. I wouldn't want anything to do with any of it.
Oh, my God. And then in the wrap up.
We've got to get going.
Yeah.
It was very nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you. Oh, sorry.
I honestly wasn't sure if my son was ever going to get married just because, you know, none of the relationships ever worked. And so I thought, okay, maybe he's not cut out to be married. I don't know.
See, it wasn't so bad.
No.
Right?
But if marrying Danielle feels right to him, then it's his decision, not mine. And so I guess I have to trust him and his instinct that if he feels this is the way he wants to go, then more power to him.
I'm like, more power to him? He's not choosing what fraternity to rush.
Yeah.
He's getting married.
Yeah.
The whole family dynamic, it makes me wish that reality TV was a thing and we could see their whole life.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, yikes. Also, I feel like anytime we don't see the inside of someone's house, I just figure it's a hoarding mess. Yeah.
Good call. I didn't think about that. Yes, hoarders buried alive, for sure.
So now we're with Shane and Natalie. Natalie tells us that after falling in love with Shane, she's realized she's never really been in love before. And her life is complete now. And she wants to make herself throw up over all this shit. They cheers with some champagne. He drinks right out of the bottle because... of course he does.
Why not?
She asks if the wedding planning is stressing him out, and he says it's the guest list that's stressing him out the most. So in the last episode, we learned that there was really only one thing that Shane wanted for the wedding.
Right.
And it was to wear a cape.
Right.
Everything else could be the way she wants it. But now we're learning that he also wants a fountain that makes old fashions, and she's curds.
Right. The first time he mentions it, she sort of like changes the subject. She's like, right, we have our food.
Uh-huh.
We have our theme.
Uh-huh.
Also, what is a wedding theme? Do we do themes now for weddings?
No.
Hey, y'all, come to our 80s wedding.
We're having Enchantment Under the Sea.
Our wedding theme is ugly sweater party in June, motherfuckers. Who has a wedding theme?
I don't know. Maybe she meant color scheme?
You guys, everyone's invited to my wedding. It's bikinis and beanies. Be sure to bring your favorite White Claw. Who has a wedding theme?
That's something Danielle would do, actually, I think.
He goes back to his idea. He's like, you're not sidetracking me on the theme talk, okay? We're going to do Oktoberfest. We're going to have lederhosen and dirndls, just like you like it. But I want to swing back to my old-fashioned fountain.
We are having an old-fashioned fountain, and we are having cheese curds. And she's like, what? You just go around eating cheese curds? Then he says he wants a kid's buffet, but for adults, he wants hot dogs and mac and cheese. And I honestly cannot tell if he's kidding or not.
No, I don't think he is. But then she says the funniest line there's ever been in the history of Love is Blind.
Uh-huh.
When he's talking about the cheese curds and the mac and cheese.
Shane, my entire family's lactose intolerant.
I'm like, is that the issue?
It's like, what? You guys lactose? You didn't tell your family you didn't have fucking toast.
If I'd known that, I wouldn't have ever asked you mad me.
He's like, cheese Christ! What do you mean you guys don't have toes? You gotta be shitting me. No, literally, my family shits when they have cheese. What? You gotta be shitting me. No, that's what will really happen. They will shit themselves. This is dairy sad.
Oh, no. No, yellow flag.
My family is lactose intolerant, which just really puts the kibosh on his flight of mac and cheeses.
Is that the issue that they can't? I think the issue is that you don't serve hot dogs.
Katie, get your puns out of the chat. Katie, get your puns out of the chat. She wrote, it's not Gouda. Great. Now I started a lactose intolerant pun chat.
She's like, my family doesn't drink. They don't eat cheese. He says basically the people in Wisconsin, which is where he grew up, all they do is eat cheese and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us that the reason he wants an old-fashioned fountain is because his dad loved old fashions and that would be a way to honor him.
Yeah. Which is very sweet.
But not enough people like old fashions to have a whole fountain of them.
You don't know their life.
Okay.
How do you know? I can't take an old fashioned, but that doesn't mean that.
Oh, the sugar hangover? Oh, God.
Are they sugary?
Oh, yeah.
I just have to remember that he lost his dad a couple months ago and then came on this show. I kind of have to like check in with myself and remind myself that.
Yeah. But then he asks what they can do to incorporate her culture. And she brings up something called banchan, which is basically a whole bunch of different vegetables. Then they have a hilarious conversation in which he can't pronounce banchan. Then they have some laughs over what an absolute galumph he is. Now we're 10 days till the wedding. So Malvador is...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you go.
No, you go.
I don't want, I'm not talking. I've maxed out my words.
Malvador is meeting Mallory's sister. And I just realized that we have not been introduced to their parents yet. It's just been siblings, these two.
Yep.
In confessional, Mallory, who is playing with her ring, tells us that love isn't a rom-com and that she and Sal are building a foundation or whatever.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. They meet Sister Tiffany. Sal brings her a bottle of red wine and makes sure she understands. I know you like red wine. So I brought you some red wine.
That was sweet.
Very nice. That's like saying, I know you like cheese, so I brought you cheese. Like, it's just basic. Tiffany wants to know Sal's relationship history. She has the flattest A's I have ever heard of anyone ever.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, so flat.
I love it. The Midwest. I love it.
Well, I'm just concerned because this is very serious. I'm sorry about my dogs.
Can you tell them to shut the fuck up and we're recording a podcast?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
They explain the process, and she's like, well, you love her. You proposed. You're getting married. You're planning a wedding. And then they tell her the wedding is in 2 weeks, and she is, you could tell, very unsure about all of this.
She's not here for it.
No.
Honestly, Sister Tiffany, she's asking the hard questions. She's a little harsh. It was like the producers were like, really give them some pushback, and she ran with it.
Yes. She was like, that's all you need to say.
This is the one question I didn't agree with. She asked how long Sal's longest relationship was. Mm-hmm. And he says 2.5 years. So she's like, that's not super long. I was like, how long do people in their 20s date? I know Mallory had a long relationship of 6 years, but I feel like in your 20s, you should date around.
Yeah.
If somebody has a relationship after 8 years and then they break it off in their 20s, I'm like, you haven't lived.
Yeah, you've had one relationship.
Oh, that's not a long time. What does that mean?
She keeps asking him questions without letting him answer. She's like, I don't know your last name. I don't know your career. I don't know where you're from. I don't know your family. And finally, he's like, well, I'm in tourism.
Yeah.
And we have talked about our finances. We want to be financially independent. He doesn't want to take any of her money. The big thing that Tiffany is caught up on is you got engaged without seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You said yes without knowing how tall he is, what his hair looked like, what his face looked like.
It is the most interrogating interrogation we've ever seen. It's very weird. And you're right. She doesn't let him answer questions. She's like, you're going to get married. You have to plan a wedding. You're going to put on a suit. All these things are going to happen. Do you play the ukulele? I don't even know. She's so skeptical. And it doesn't feel like, to me, she's lovingly skeptical. Now, yeah. Mallory says she's always had her best intentions at heart. And I get that. And I don't doubt that. But to me, I feel like we've seen parents in the past ask very legitimate and thoughtful questions that are hard questions to have. Tiffany feels very aggressive to me. Did you get that?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like an interrogation for interrogation's sake. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of, hey, I really want this to work. Sal asks for her blessing, and she doesn't seem very gung-ho about it. And then he tells us in confessional that it would be unfortunate if she didn't give them her blessing, but his grandparents didn't support his parents' marriage, so they'll get married regardless. But remember that he told us that if his sisters didn't give him a blessing, he wasn't going to get married.
Right. I don't understand the whole blessing thing, but I'm a cunt.
It's none of anybody's business. But he actually seems a little pissed.
Who does?
Sal, after this exchange.
Oh, yeah, he definitely does. He does seem pissed. He seems annoyed. I would kind of be annoyed in that rapid fire. That wasn't a conversation.
No.
That really was a question and answer with no answers. She was just sort of slinging questions at him. I would kind of be annoyed as well.
100%. Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen him that sort of
flustered.
Yeah.
Mallory says she appreciates her sister challenging because not everyone has challenged Mallory and Sal. I think everyone loved Sal so much. They're like, you guys are going to be great. And I appreciate that. But then she says that she has always been her authentic and genuine self. Absolutely not, ma'am. That is a lie. And then I came up with my hot take of the episode. Do you want my hot take of the episode?
I do. We need a jingle for this.
Here's my hot take. Mallory is actually the Jessica of the season, not Shayna.
Oh, wow.
Because Mallory is two different people.
Yeah.
She's crying. She loves his emotions and his ukulele. But we knew from the jump she was not attracted to him. From the second she saw him, she was not attracted to him.
Yeah.
She is two-faced.
Yeah.
I did not think that the first go around.
I think they could both be the Jessica of this season. I'm not willing to let go.
I think Shayna is way more manipulative than Jessica.
Yeah.
She's way bitchier. Like, she's like bitchy.
Yeah, she's a snake in the grass. So now we're meeting Shake's parents, and he knows they're going to love Deep Dee. Shake's mom, Sita, wants to hear about the experience. They explain how it works.
They have a massive house.
Oh my God.
And they have a German Shepherd, and I feel like the camera people this season are definitely animal people because the animals really have gotten solid screen time.
They have.
Danielle's cat, Nick's dog, this German Shepherd.
Yeah. A German Shepherd always feels like either a rich person's dog or just trailer park, like one tooth in your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're so smart. Oh, I love German Shepherds. They're so smart. But they will also kill you. They are the deadliest dog, not pit bulls. There you go.
Yeah. And they were also, you know, Hitler's favorite dog. So
they were German Shepherds.
Doot, 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 doot. Yeah. He had a German Shepherd named Blondie.
Oh.
Blondie, God kills the Jews. That's what he would say to his dog. He'd say, good girl, mein Schatzi, God kills the Jews. Like that.
They're explaining the journey to Shake's parents and their similarities and how they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she says, you're going to continue to grow and evolve. We've been married 34 years and we still piss each other off.
Mm-hmm. She's like, it's never perfect. You're never going to know everything about the person. Mamacita tells us in Mamacita.
It is, because I always say Mama and her name is Sita. I know in my notes it says Mamacita.
Mamacita. She tells us in confessional that she's nervous and excited and she thinks that Deep Dee is good for Shake. I love this woman. That she accepts Shake's weaknesses and they're both strong for each other. So then Shake and his mom have a little debrief session. And he comes out and says, I love everything about her. I love her personality, but I don't want to fuck her.
Couple things here.
Uh-huh.
I will repeat, Shake's feelings are valid.
Mm-hmm.
I really am disgusted with how he speaks and blabs to anyone who will listen
mm-hmm.
about his lack of attraction and how Deep Dee feels familial to him.
Mm-hmm.
I really find that even grosser than being deceptive to Deep Dee.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that him and his mom have this relationship where they can talk. And maybe this was the only person to say it to. But we've now heard him say it to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate it. I think it is tacky as fuck.
It is. And it means that if he ever does get to a point where maybe he is attracted to her, he's dug himself into a hole now because he's told every fucking buddy.
It continues to embarrass her.
Yeah.
So Mamacita, listen, we'll play it for you. She lays down the fucking gauntlet. Take it away, Mama.
This is very hard.
It's very hard.
Being very frank, I'm very much identifying with her right now more than you. She could find someone who absolutely loves her the way she is. And she's a wonderful person.
And I do.
She doesn't deserve someone who gives her even 0.5% less.
I mean, she kept it at 100, as the kids say. The world needs more moms that call their sons out like this.
Fuck yeah.
Because it is so easy to love every ounce of your kid, and toxic boy mom syndrome is a fucking thing.
Yeah.
More moms need to be like Mamacita and tell their sons when they're fucking wrong. Mm-hmm. And also, I think Mama Shake is basically also like, I'm also kind of bummed I'm losing out on this cool fucking daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Now I'm like vaguely remembering something at the wedding also, but I could just be inventing that in my head right now.
Well, we're not there yet, Daisy.
We aren't. You're right. Now we're with Jared TTT and Ayana first thing in the morning. He tells her she's so beautiful and she's like, shut up, I just woke up. But she is so beautiful all the time.
She's adorable.
So then they're on the couch discussing wedding plans and he has a gaming headset on. And at first I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. I was like, all right, maybe it's just on his head, like he was playing and he forgot and it's just there. No, they're discussing wedding details. They want to wear matching sneakers. She very generously asks him if he has a preference for the wedding dress. And he says, no, as long as you come down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is fully playing a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks him what he's doing that night. And he says he's going to this spot called whatever the fuck, some fucking nightclub. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's Tuesday. And he's like, it's Taco Tuesday.
Remember, Jerry TTT, he's a party boy. He's a fuck boy. He's a player. Ayana's a homebody. That's a big difference.
I love the idea that it's Taco Tuesday is justification. Oh, okay. You're right.
It's Taco. It's not like he was like, it's my friend Brian's birthday.
No.
It's Taco Tuesday. Hello. It's a national holiday every week.
So then he's yelling at his video game, and she's like, I always wanted to have an intimate wedding. This is not the time for this discussion, Ayana.
It's very awful. They're just so different. This is just an exact manifestation of their differences. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Ayana's a homebody, and she accepts she's a homebody, and she accepts that Jerit ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta is a partier. I was married to a partier.
Oh, you were?
And I've never really been a partier. I like going out. I'm social, but I'm not a partier. And being married to a partier didn't bother me until it did.
Yeah.
It does. It feels weird to wake up in the middle of the night and it be 4 o'clock in the morning and being like, where's my husband?
Yeah, I don't even like to go to bed at different times than Kurt. If we're watching TV and he's like, I think I'm going to go to bed, I'm like, then I am too. I don't know.
That's called codependency.
Well, fuck off. So now she finally has his undivided attention, but it's only because his game froze.
Right.
And in confessional, Ayana says that she loves Jarrett, but she's concerned because he's not making any adjustments to show that he's ready to be married.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out all the time. So now Jarrett goes to this club. It absolutely looks like it's just somebody's apartment that they put some DJ equipment in.
It's very strange.
Right?
Yeah, it seems like it was done in post. They were like, they wouldn't let our cameras in. Let's like recreate this over at Jim's house.
Yeah.
Someone hold up a disco light and there's like a PA just like spinning it. Am I good? We got the shot.
So back at home, Ayana's on the phone with a friend and she tells her that Jarrett went out and the friend's like, what? And now we're 9 days out to the weddings. Nick and Danielle are at Danielle's apartment. The first thing he says is, look at this mess. I have to say, to me, it didn't look like a very messy apartment.
It looked cluttered.
I mean, okay. It didn't even look that cluttered. Like, the surfaces were mostly cleared off. There was a lot of stuff in there.
Her apartment looks like a frat boy lives there. It's not cute. It's not ugly.
Well, she has art on the wall and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about her apartment. It is her personality.
Chaotic.
Like, she is showing her personality in this apartment. Absolutely.
Chaotic and broken. We're going to find out she's got a lot of broken furniture.
Yeah. Her table is broken because I guess some of her girlfriends got up on it when she was having a party. She's a single woman living by herself. You know what I mean? She has all of her Guitar Hero stuff out. She tells him that she has a whole collection of blow-up instruments.
How many times do you use the blow-up instrument? Like, why? How many times in a week,
Ellen,
could you possibly be like,
she needs
okay,
them.
I have to go to the store. I need to clean the litter box. I'm going to play with those blow-up instruments.
She needs them.
How is that on an agenda of any kind?
Listen, Ellen.
She has every instrument in blow-up form.
You are being so judgmental. You never know when you need to play a blow-up instrument. You don't know.
You never know when the Lord is going to call you to air guitar. She's like, God, I really want to, but I have not played my blow-up instruments in 8 or 9 days. They are calling me. Hi, babies.
If I put them away, then I forget about them, and then it's bad.
It's called object permanency. I need to play them. Why? Why are they out? Put them in a box.
I know.
Go to the Dollar Tree. Get a lovely container for them. Make a label that says
the Dollar Tree. Oh,
yeah, the 5-quarter store.
The Dollar General.
Oh, Dollar General is disgusting. Dollar Tree is high end. Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
So then she takes out, and I completely forgot about this. She takes out a hot dog and a corn on the cob costume.
Just at the ready.
Got him in there. She models a hot dog costume for him, and he's like, how did this particular thing come to be? She's like, I get ads for things and I'm persuaded.
He looks like he has a butt for a face. He is like, it is June. We are nowhere near Halloween. I am totally fine with people having these things, but why are they at the ready? Why do you need a Guitar Hero rock band at arm's length? As well as blow up instruments and a fucking corn on the cob costume. She is laser tag.
How many ads for hot dog costumes have you seen in your life? She's like, I get ads for things.
Nerf guns. Nick is like, it's fine to be goofy, but also, and this feels weird for me to say because I am such a silly goose, but I have to agree, it raises questions.
It absolutely does. They sit on the couch in their costumes. He puts a corn on the cob costume on. He's like, I guess I'll be a good sport. She's like, I host parties. Of course I have these costumes. Like, what are you talking about? Don't you? Now we all know that even in a family that makes balloon animals and wears food costumes and talks openly about sex, you can also come out a neurotic mess. Did you also happen to notice the balloon animal
Oh, yeah.
on the table?
I don't even want to talk about it. Now I feel like they're punking us. Netflix. I feel like Netflix is in on it.
Yeah.
And she also says, I have a lot of parties and my friends break my furniture. Are you okay with that?
No.
Absolutely not.
No. It's one thing to have like a stuffy like wine and cheese situation, which trust me, I love. It's quite another to have people jumping on your furniture and breaking it. Like, come on. She's in her late 20s at this point. Like, grow up.
And Nick is sitting there, his fucking at home making toothpaste self in a goddamn corn on the cob costume, trying to absorb and sort through the fact that his fiance has furniture breaking friends that come over and fucking play air guitar and shoot Nerf guns and fucking play laser tag.
Yeah.
He's getting hot. He's having like a panic attack. He's like, I need this corn on the cob costume off of me stat.
Yeah, he needs to get that thing off, that horrible polyester. But I love that they're having this conversation with this guy.
fully. And then it made me think about, you know, the sister brought up his OCD. And, you know, I don't like to throw around that word because it is a real diagnosis, which he may not have. But he definitely has a need for order. I mean, he has alphabetized CDs.
Yeah.
And I had a thought, obviously, that Danielle has like an attachment to clutter, mm-hmm. which is very normal with people with, you know, mental illness. But whenever my stuff is cluttered, I get anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like clutter, but then I can be cluttered because of like my ADHD. I feel like this chaos is going to be very uncomfortable for Nick.
I think you're right. I think that he can't tolerate things out of order. But look, people can make it work, you know?
Jeannie says, what drugs are you taking that furniture is breaking regularly?
Yeah, of course my table broke. What are you talking about? I had a party.
I put a sign that said no dancing on the tables. People didn't listen.
Obviously, I have a hot dog costume. I throw parties.
Yeah.
So now we're with Shane and Natalie. They're going to meet Natalie's parents. He really wants this to be over with. He's very nervous. She apparently has not told them anything yet. Like Jerry TTTT.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you go get the flowers and the dinner. I'll explain the whole thing to them before you get back. She's clearly putting on a very brave front for Shane because she tells us in confessional that she's nervous as shit for this to happen. And she usually tells them everything, so it's very weird that she hasn't even spoken to them in about a month. She says she's willing to risk hurting them for Shane, or them being hurt, I guess. So Nan and Don show up, and out of the gate, they're like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Whose apartment is this?
Yeah.
What? And she's like, it's my apartment. Her mom's like, no, it's not. What's going on?
She starts off with, well, remember how I was single? Maybe we could have thought of a better lead off, my love. I don't know.
She goes clear across the room. She gets as far away from them as she possibly can.
She is 47 paces away from her family. I was like, there must be a throwing the shoes situation. She is Korean, and my Korean friends say that their mom can huck a slipper across the room.
Yes.
She knows how far the trajectory goes with the slipper, and she is out of range.
She is a half a foot beyond that range.
Yeah.
She tells him about the show and that she fell in love and she got engaged and she's getting married.
Do not push your gay agenda. They got engaged.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. I am surrounded by you people.
It's my entire personality is being gay.
Yeah, I know.
And they're getting married in 2 weeks. And Don and Nan are not happy about this. Nan says it's too much. She's concerned. So is Don. And Natalie's response to this is, you want to see the ring? And Nan is like, no, bitch. What the fuck? Slaps her hand away.
Slaps her hand. Get that hand out of here.
So then Natalie points out that her grandparents, I guess, got married only knowing each other for 3 days. And Nan goes, are you living in the 1960s?
I love Nan. She goes, I need a stretcher. I'm stealing that. So I got me this. I need a stretcher. Gigi, bring mama a stretcher.
Oh, boy.
Papa Don is really sweet, though.
Papa Don is really trying hard to come around.
Yeah. He's like, give them a chance.
Yeah. So in confessional, Natalie tells us that she could see the heartbreak in her mom's eyes, but her dad is being understanding. Nan tells Don that Natalie has done a lot of crazy things, but this one is too much. And Don is like, let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So then doofy Shane walks in with flowers and dinner, looking more goofy and doofy than he ever has. He's like, hi. And Nan makes a shocked face, and that's where we end it. She goes, and then it's over.
And he's white! Oh my God! Where are his lips?
You buried the lead!
Oh, damn it. I fucking love this show. I am heightenedly and exceedingly aware of the time, and I could just keep on talking, at least for the rest of the day. I'm not going to let go of the blow-up instruments.
No, that's your Roman Empire for today.
For today.
Just for today.
What about my... I couldn't possibly. Don't ask me again. Don't ask me again. The rock band stays. God damn it!
She will die on that hill. That wedding is hinging on those blow-up instruments.
Oh, my God. Well... thank you all for being here. And thank you to our, what's our top tier called?
Backdoor bitches.
Backdoor bitches. The back, back in the butthole bitches. Because you guys do get the ta, as they saw.
You sure do.
But we appreciate all of you for being here at Grab Bag Collab. We are going to be on a general feed very soon. And we are going to need all of your loving fingers to tap, tap, tap away and share that general feed.
Share it, like it, subscribe it, download it, give it 5 stars.
All of that stuff.
Get it pregnant.
I have a personal
douche system at home
goal to make Grab Bag Collab blow up. And I just work here. I don't have any vested interest other than that. But it is something I would like to hold over Daisy's head. So if you could help me with that, that would be great. That will be coming out soon. Please. Honestly, listen, this is some inside scoop, and Rabia and I talked about this on our episode. We've had a huge iOS update, and it has really, really fucked with your favorite podcasters and content creators' numbers. Really. Obviously, we do this because we fucking love it, but we do have people to answer to.
And also mouths to feed.
We've all seen a drop, and it's not just us. It's all of our podcast friends. So I said this on Robbie and Ellen, so I'm going to ask you all to do this for all of our shows. It's really easy. It's 3 steps. Please go to our show. Go to Strange and Unexplained. Go to Robbie and Ellen. Go to I Think Not. Go to Crimes. Go to any content that you consume. Go to the 3 dots in the corner and hit settings. After settings, all you have to do is about 3/4 of the way down, click on downloads, and please click download 10 latest episodes. That's all you need to do. It truly takes 30 seconds, and it is really, really messed with a lot of people's stuff.
Yeah, our download numbers dropped significantly, and that means that we have to do a bunch of free ads, and our numbers go down, and yeah.
Yeah, we have to do make goods on our ads, and I love our sponsors, but I don't want to do more ads than we have to. I want to keep the ads to a minimum.
I don't want to work for free because Apple made some fakakta fucking update that fucked us all.
So please do that. Have your partners do it. Grab your partner's phone and just download it. Honestly, I know it's silly, but this is the business part of this shit. And we don't talk about that a lot. But, you know, a lot of people reach out and say, what can I do? How can I support you? And it's little shit like this. So do it on all of our podcasts. Anybody you love, it'll mean the world. But until next week, other than you people who are doing that, you shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, Ellen, shut the fuck up.
I already said it. So once I said shut the fuck up and then you didn't shut the fuck up and asked me to shut the fuck up, then you look like an idiot.
Shut the fuck up.
That's the law.
You're still talking.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.